Gannon, a great ball opportunity here. It's in. It's Patrick McElhinney.
I'm feeling good.
Here's Hooven. And Hooven gets it.
Would you like to be back? Yes.
This is tough.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Hello there, welcome along to the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. It's been a big few days for the national team as they claimed 4 points from six with a draw in Denmark thanks to Shane Duffy's late thumping header, and they followed that up with a perhaps less than convincing 2-0 win over Gibraltar to rake over the ashes. I'm joined by Stephen Kelly and by Kenny Cunningham. Lads, first of all, thanks for joining us on the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Kenny, if I go to you first of all, 4 points garnered over the space of 3 or 4 days, how would you sum up that return for Mick McCarthy?
Yeah, I think it's a good return, because if you throw it back to the Denmark game, 25 minutes into that second half when they scored, we were really on the ropes. We looked to be in trouble, but we picked ourselves up, took a point from that game and carried it into the game this evening. Obviously, certain frustrating aspects to the game this evening, I understand that, but the 3 points were paramount, and that's exactly what we've done. I don't think people realise to an extent how difficult these games are. Stephen's experienced it, so have I, in terms of your season finishing, you know, 4 weeks later, having to turn out and find the same level of performance as you have done previously. That's very difficult to do. I never managed to do it. Any teams that I played have never managed to do it.
Why is it so difficult?
Well, it's just, your season finish, just your kind of physical conditioning just kind of drops off, your intensity levels. It's very difficult to keep that at a high level, just to switch the on button when the games come around. I think everybody experiences that, and some of these players wouldn't have had a competitive game prior to the Denmark game for 4 to 5 weeks. That's not easy at the end of a very kind of grueling season anyway, and so that is a factor. It sounds like a little bit of a poor excuse, but I've always found that to be the case. So these games are generally know there's going to be a dip off in terms of level of performance, but it's all about the kind of mentality, kind of concentration levels, and just kind of seeing it out, and that's what we did over the course of the two games, and came away with 4 points, which I think was a good return.
Stephen, would you share that view of Kenny's, that games at this time of the season can be difficult and tricky for players? Because I think a lot of people after the Denmark game, and of course before that back in March in particular, the Georgia win, felt that Irish football was heading in the right direction. The Gibraltar game, they thought, well, maybe they should kick on and bag a good few goals. That wasn't to be, and the performance was patchy in part. But is that down to the fact that players could almost feel their holidays? They know they're going on holidays after that game. There's been a long season. All those factors contributing.
No, there is a lot of those factors that are accountable for when it comes to a game like this. And it is so late in, like, you're so late in June. Like, some of the lads seem to be starting pre-season in 20 days from now. So it's not far from when they'll be back in with their clubs, and so it's not much of a break. But I think it's been a professional job. Like, listen, we're not going to, if we were to pick apart and dissect it, you would say that, you know, the performance wasn't great, but we've got the points from it. The Denmark game, I think after such a high of being at that level and doing well, there was always going to be a come down. So this game wouldn't have been, the lads probably weren't as motivated, not as motivated because that's the wrong word, but they wouldn't have gone into this to the same level as what they would for the Denmark game, because they know when they lose the ball, if they give it away, they're probably not going to be punished for it to the same extent. Whereas against Denmark, if they lose the ball, you know Ericsson's going to punish you, you know Poulsen's going to punish you. It's not the same here tonight. So, and the lads would have had one eye on all. Like, they're very professional. They're out here. They would have worked really hard on this. And it is a difficult thing to get yourself up for. It's, you know, the points in the bag. The most important thing is that we qualify for the Euros, and that's what we're trying to do. And we're in a great position to go in after the first four games to do that. Disappointing that, like I said, the point I was making, disappointing that some of the forwards weren't getting on the score sheet. That for me is, it was an opportunity for them to break the duct and get an international goal for the first time, which would have been lovely. Like, McGoldrick came very close, but it would have been nice that they had got that under, you know, just so that they can go on to the next level, the next few games.
And I think feel like that. You saw that with Scott Hogan a little bit, the runs he was making for us, have desperate to get in there, seeing opportunities to get in behind, and just maybe not quite timing his run. Maybe playing for his club, be a little bit more patient. You know, he scored goals already, a little bit more calmer, just a little bit desperate to get into those positions to get away from defenders and get his shot on target. Wasn't able to do so. I had a chance just before he went off.
Good save.
Yeah, it was a good run just off the shoulder defender. It was a crisp little shot. Unfortunately, couldn't do it. Would love to see Sean McGuire get that goal. You could tell he's another player who's desperate to perform and get off the mark as well. I don't get too caught up with the outcome. None of our centre forwards have scored, because I actually think, I don't think it's going to take a huge amount of goals, tally in terms of goal for us, to actually get us out of this group. That's the first thing. And when I look at our team, possibly not so much tonight in terms of how Mick set the team, but I think going forward, Mick will probably revert back to his kind of 4-3-3, particularly when the big games come.
Definitely.
And when we play that system, when I look at Jeff and Conor Hooran, who've contributed already, winning goals in the first two games. I can see goals coming from those two players. I mean, Conor can play a slightly deeper role tonight with it too. He's very comfortable receiving the ball and just kind of pushing us up the pitch. But again, I'd like to see him a little bit higher up the pitch. He's got the hammer of a left foot.
If you get him on the edge of the box and balls dropping out to him, hitting and following things in, like if we're putting Gross into the box and he's on the edge of the box following in, it's
picking balls up. Yeah. And Jeff arrives well in the box as well. So those two players for me are best suited to the system we played against Georgia, with Jeff Glenn just sitting behind him and kind of pushing
but
those players 10-15 yards higher up the pitch. And then you're looking to the wide areas goals as well. Can anybody chip in there? Callum Robinson for me is a player who potentially, if he gets enough minutes on the pitch, can chip in with goals from the wide areas. James McLean's done it previously. I've mentioned Ronan Coors. We haven't seen him this evening. I'm really excited about this player. He's got a very prolific this season for Portsmouth in terms of goals.
Are you surprised he didn't get a run at it?
Maybe not surprised. Mitt's got some good options on the bench, and Rob has experienced the qualities he has. I can understand that. But operating off that left-hand side, I would like to see him get it. He's a totally different player to James McLean. He's somebody who likes to work on the inside, drives inside. He's very strong off his right foot. He combines well with people. He's a very technical player, physically strong as well. So he's a different type of player to James, who likes to play on the outside. But when he comes inside, he affects the game. He scores goals and he makes goals for other people. So I think actually we have players on the bench who actually can contribute and actually make us better going forward. So that's how I see where the goals are coming from. I don't think we need a centre forward scoring 3 or 4 goals by the end of this qualifying campaign to qualify. I don't think we necessarily need that.
Well, because we don't concede many, we're not going to score that many. But just for me, it would be more just for their own confidence. I'd love to see them, because there's always going to be this thing that Robbie hanging over people says. It's always going to be. He's in the coaching staff now. That's always going to be there. And let's face it, that's never going to happen again really in Irish football. Like the level of goals he scored was phenomenal. Like it's unbelievable what he did for this country. But for them, it'd be good for them just to have that confidence that they've got one. And like I said, we have got goals from other places. Like Conor again, going to contribute. Jeff will. James did a lot in the last campaigns and was one of our top goal scorers. So we have got goals from other areas. But it's something that I would like to see. And it's not a bad reflection on the strikers. I think we're just not creating for them as much. I don't think we're creating those chances for them.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, Kenny? At times, the chances created were few and far between, particularly against Georgia. You'd accept against the likes of Denmark, you might get one or two chances in a game, or it may come from a set piece. But against Gibraltar, you'd expect to create a hatful of chances, and that's with all due respect to Gibraltar. And I know you say it's international football and long season, but I think people will be surprised that Ireland didn't create more.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things involved in that, though, to be honest, which I know the lads were talking about in terms of the quality delivery at times, maybe from the central midfield area in terms of real penetrating your passes, playing through the lines, maybe playing down the sides, his centre-halves for your centre-forwards to get in. I can understand that to a point, but I was looking at David McGoldrick tonight. He got man of the match tonight, David McGoldrick, but for me, he spends too much time away from the goal. I see him coming 10 yards off the front, 15 yards, drifting into wide areas of the pitch, almost kind of setting attacks up, and then the ball gets worked quickly into the box. He's struggling to arrive there. There's a lot of talk of rotation in the modern game ahead of the ball, people drifting on the inside and, you know, playing off the cuff a little bit. For me, I like to see a little bit more set patterns on the football pitch when my team is playing. So sometimes when our fullbacks get the ball, I like to see our wingers stay high and wide and off themselves up wide, really stretch the opposition team across the pitch. And our two centre-forwards actually to play high up the pitch against centre-forwards, have the ball into their feet, make it stick and get runners off them. So almost kind of simplify the game a little bit. So when I look at David Goldrick, I think he had a fine game tonight again. But for me, show a little bit more discipline. Keep yourself higher up the pitch and be a little bit more of a focal point in and around the box where you can actually set people up. But also, if the ball gets delivered to the box very quickly, you can get into the box and get on the end of things. So there's a lot of combination of things there for me why we're not creating chances. You can talk about quality delivery into the box at times. But for me, I always like when we simplify our game. Like the goal tonight, James McLean. Diagonal ball out to James McLean. Touch, cross, delivery, goal. Put some attack in the back post.
So you'd like to see a lot more of that, much more direct.
Yeah, but that's direct. Yeah, absolutely. I've nothing wrong with direct. As long as you're accurate with that direct ball, where it's a crossfield ball from Conor Hourihan out to James McLean, or a direct ball as we got in Gibraltar from Conor Hourihan down the side over the top to Dave McGoldrick, who put in Jeff Hendrick for the goal over in Gibraltar. So just mix our game up a little, but keep a little bit more regimented for me is fine. When I receive the ball, when I play centre half and fullback, fact, Stephen's the same. I looked up the pitch. I'd like to see set patterns up the pitch. I'd like to know where my centre forward is, where my winger is. When I look up and I see my winger's drifted on the inside, my centre forward's come short. You know, there's a huge
someone's
amount of
on the channel.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of rotation high up the pitch. You're not quite sure what you're seeing. I like to, when I receive the ball out my body, I look up the pitch. I know where my centre forward is. I know where my winger is, and my centre midfielder on the inside. I think sometimes almost we have to simplify our game a little bit, because that's when we're at our best. Back to front as early as possible for me. Absolutely. Get the ball into wide areas. Some good combination play, which we saw the lads mention between Callum Robinson and Seamus. And that good quality delivery and people arriving into good areas. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't think Mick's the type of manager that's going to want to overcomplicate things either, though. He doesn't you've worked on him before, so you know. But I don't think he... I think he's going to want to give the lads a set pattern and a play and then go from that. He's not going to want them to be too overcomplicated. Like, if he can get a ball in the box and score a goal from it, he'd be happy with that. Like I said, he wants the results. But it's about, like I said, the quality that James put in for that Robbie Brady goal was a great cross, and he's caused the goalkeeper to come for it, not know where he's going, and then Robbie's coming to the far post. But what was encouraging was the amount of people that were in the box for that cross. You see, there was someone in the air post, there was someone in the middle box, and the Robbie was steaming into the far post. That's what you want, and it was being ringed by Jeff and Connor. So we had it set up so that if it did break, we had an opportunity. And at times we didn't do that, and when it did break, we were like looking short, and sometimes they caught us on the count as well, which is the centre backs needing to push up and onto that. The
centre back a little bit loose at times. Which
I think comes because the opposition we're playing against, there's a little bit of complacency there, and they kind of feel that they don't have to do everything to the highest level because they know they could probably get away with it, because technically or pace wise they're not going to be able to finish off. But you know, overall it's been, to this point, it's been a good campaign. We've got the points on the board. We're in a position where we're ahead of everything, and we're leading the pack, and everybody has to try and catch us, which is nice. Overall, there's little things that we need to work on, but the strengths and the positives that we can take from the Denmark game are going to way overshadow what's happened here tonight.
Yeah, and in terms of the atmosphere at the Aviva, I know players play the match that's in front of them, but the atmosphere at the Gibraltar game in particular was slightly surreal, because the ground was half full, it was a sunny evening, people were waiting for something to happen, players were knocking about. It almost at times had a feel of a pre-season friendly about it. Whereas the old days of the Lansdowne, where the crowd were right on top and it was kind of go, 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 that really kind of encouraged the players to drive on. Is that an issue at all?
I don't know. I think the nature of the game this evening wasn't a huge contest. It wasn't a game this evening where both teams are going at it, like trading blows, end-to-end stuff, a nice ebb and flow to the game. That kind of really energises the stadium. I think everybody came to the stadium so they knew what type of game was going to be. We're going to dominate possession. We're going to pen them in. So maybe even in the mindset of the supporters, they know exactly what they're going to get before they arrive at the stadium. Tonight, yes, more clear-cut chances, more goals scored, kind of energises the crowd to an extent. We didn't quite manage that, so that probably meant that's why the atmosphere we had in the stadium this evening. But that's par for the course. You just have to accept it. Like I said, I don't think it was a huge factor in the game this evening, but I genuinely feel with the big games we have coming in here, clearly the Switzerland and Denmark game, I think there's going to be times during those games, we saw it in Denmark, we're going to get pinned in, and we're going to have to soak up a little bit of pressure, and we're going to have to get the crowd involved in the game, get the crowd behind us, and almost energise the players at times, not only in a defender but also in trying to in an attacking part of our game as well. So I still think the crowd's going to play their part in this qualifying campaign. We didn't need them this evening, but I think we're going to need them going forward.
Well, let's get some reaction to Ireland's 2-0 win over Gibraltar. Here's the Irish manager, Mick McCarthy. He's been speaking to Tony O'Donoghue.
Mick, you did say to us all you wanted was the win. So you've got the 3 points, the midway point of the campaign. How does it feel?
Feels great. I'm going on my holidays with 10 points. And I guess that was the total I had in my mind when we started, when those three games, a draw in Denmark. I'm happy.
Improvements needed, though, would you think?
Well, I'll settle for winning the next game. We've got Switzerland. Do you know what? What's really disappointing is I've got a bunch of lads coming there. It felt like we'd lost. The dressing room's all quiet. I said, what's wrong with it? We've got the points that we wanted to get. So we've had something like 40 crosses or something. We've had 30 shots. We've had more corners. We've just not put them in the net. Maybe we should congratulate them for being so belligerent, and maybe, you know, condemn us a little bit for being profligate. We've scored two. We've won the game.
Yeah, but you were honest enough after the Gibraltar game to say it was horrible. The conditions were poor, the pitch was poor. But we were lacking a lot of creativity tonight, and more invention was needed, it seemed.
Yeah, well, I'll be scouring the planet to see if we can get some more invention and creativity for everybody. That'd be lovely. But the lads I've got have really worked hard and had a great 3 weeks, so I've no criticism of them. They've been brilliant.
How annoyed were you, though, when like players running offside? You know, you obviously, you look very annoyed, in the, certainly in the first half.
I am annoyed. I play annoyed. I manage annoyed. If it's not going right, of course I am. Like everybody else, like the players as well. And I just thought, we made some great runs, but we got caught offside. But ultimately, we've won the game, and that's what I wanted. I'd love to have turned everybody on with some sexy football tonight, but it's a 2-0 win, 10 points.
Didsy, once again, McGoldrick getting the man of the match, and he wasn't awarded the goal. That's the way UEFA look at it. It was a big deflection. Hit the post as well. But he's done well for you.
It's terrific. It's interesting, isn't it? There's about creativity. When I was at Ipswich and Didsy kept turning up, he didn't get a game. He got a standing ovation in the last game here because he showed how brilliant he was. And he's had another great game, got the man of the match. So, you know, we've got some good players. I think my remit was to get 10 points. Their lads were, we've done it.
Well, as I say, halfway point now, you can go off and enjoy your summer, but you've a lot to think about because there's tough tests ahead.
Of course there is, but isn't it interesting how we've played better against the tough tests? Played really well against Georgia, beat them, had a really good performance there the other night, got a great point. I'm not worried about this, we'll play better against them. And I keep saying, I'm not coming here and be miserable. If you all want me to be that unlucky, I'm smiling at you. We've won 10 points, see ya. And they're all in my pocket, by the way, and I'm not giving any of them back.
Well, that's Mick McCarthy. Let's get some more reaction. Here's the man of the match from the 2-0 win over Gibraltar, David McGoldrick.
A weird game today, you know, with a lot of possession. Coming from Friday, we didn't have a lot of possession. It's changed round. Should have got more goals, you know. I should have got a few goals again. Just need to get that first goal. But over and all, we've got 10 points for the campaign so far, so the boys are happy.
How disappointed were you that UEFA will say that the goal wasn't given to you? I know it was a big deflection.
Yeah, you know, that's the rules. I don't know if it was going in or not. I think it hit him so quickly off me, but I would have loved it to be my goal. I don't know if it is. If it's not, then, you know, we got the 3 points, and that's the main thing.
You did hit the post as well. That one you must have been going, that's surely in.
Yeah, you know, when I hit it, I thought it was in, then it rebounded off the post, and I knew that after that, you know, it was going to be not my night to score. But luckily, Robbie came on positive, got the second goal to make the scoreline look better.
You were coming deep and, you know, nice, clever little interchanges. But do we need more of that? We have to be a bit more creative, don't we?
Yeah, that was the aim, you know, to go two up front today. Scotty stretches in behind. And my game, Sheffield United, you know, I play the second striker, coming deep and trying to link up the play. We were trying to do that today, me with Jeff and Connor behind me. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. You know, it was hard to break down. There was a lot of men behind the ball. But, you know, just, I like doing that in my game. And also Friday, I played up front on my own. So I feel I can do both. But I'm much happier when I can get on the ball.
In the games ahead, though, would you think it's more likely that you'll be probably playing again alone up front?
You know, you'd have to have the gaffer that if I play, you know, we've got strikers that can play that role as well. You know, we're going into the season and it's all about club form then, about who's scoring goals then. I'm going to have a tough task getting my place in the Sheffield United team. The boys going to, going back to their clubs flying. So, you know, as long as I'm involved and playing some part, you know, I'm happy.
You've come a long way, though, in an Ireland shirt. There's times you couldn't even make the bench here.
Yeah, you know, that's football for, you know. I think I said this time last year I didn't have a club. You know, I had to go on trial in pre-season at Sheffield United. You know, I really had to book up my ideas and, you know, I'm really enjoying my football at the minute, playing for my club, playing for my country, and long may it continue.
Well done tonight, and hopefully there's a few more awards in this campaign.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
That's David McGoldrick in conversation with our soccer correspondent, Tony O'Donoghue. Stephen, before we wrap things up, just a word on the Irish team and Irish team selections. The team that lined out against Denmark, do you think that's the team that Mick McCarthy now views as his 11?
Well, when you see that he's thinking about setting a team up in a way that's going to be able to perform against a team that can cause us more problems, that's what he wants to do. He wants to have a midfielder that can sit in front of the back four and protect them, and he wants to have two in front that can try and get in the ball and influence going forward as well, with the central striker, that because we're basically losing that second striker front. And yeah, no, the team he picked against Denmark is the one he's going to go with. You can see that's the team he's probably going to go with. There could be a few changes. Callum Adeola possibly could come into that fray, but I think away from home and against oppositions that are going to cause us problems, James McLean offers that tracking runners that he's always going to do. He's always going to be willing to go back to opposite.
You can trust him defensively.
You can trust him defensively. And then the other thing that can come into that, whether or not if you have the other side, if you want to play Matt Doherty in front of Seamus as a defensive solid, yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, I can't see it happening. But if you wanted to be solid and you're trying to close the game, maybe two fullbacks is an option. But no, definitely the 4-5-1 is the shape Mick is going to be happy with to go with when we're playing against these big games, against teams that can cause us problems, because we feel that we give us a solid foundation to defend from, but also gives us an opposition to counter-attack as well.
Yeah, I think the team picks, I agree with Steve. I think the one area is that right side of midfield position where Mick just might be thinking between now and those games in September. Robbie's started there against Denmark, but I still feel as if it's positions a couple of players in the squad.
Callum's given himself a great opportunity to play. Sorry, I don't want to quit. But
yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. That performance this evening, albeit against Gibraltar. Callum O'Dowd as well. Although he's on my left foot, he's someone who can operate off the right hand side. Totally different type of player to Robbie. Absolutely phenomenal athlete. Somebody who can take you up the pitch quickly, beat somebody in 1v1 situations. Ronald Corns as well, I throw in. But I think that right side midfield position is the one area that Mick might just have a look at, but he is very loyal to his players, so it would need one of those players to start the season really well at club level. I think, you know, stay clear from injury as they haven't been able to do, start the season really well to really push strongly for the starting position, but that's probably the only position that I see at the moment.
And not to go back over the old argument though, it's not the frustration for the likes of Shawnee Maguire and Scott Hogan who had the opportunity against Gibraltar that it didn't quite come off of them. They haven't really forced the manager's hand at all.
I don't think so.
I still don't think it would have been up for grabs.
Yeah, when Mick goes to that central
striker, I still don't think they'd play. Yeah, I'm not sure. Even if they had scored that back full of goals tonight, I'm not too sure they would have been in contention to play that single role. It's got to be McGoldrick or Shane Long realistically in that single player, because they're the ones that can operate and run channels and cause problems. Whereas Shawnee offers a different role, and so does Scott.
Yeah, Dave McGoldrick's got the jersey at the moment, even ahead of Shane. Yeah. I would suggest, and that may have, formation that we're talking about, McGoldrick ability, that focal point, just that physical capability he's got to kind of hold the ball up, kind of all-round player, physically can hold off chances.
And he's offered runs as well.
He can run the channels. And even when he drops in a little bit, which he does, I've spoken about being a little bit of discipline at times, but when we have the advanced midfielders in there, in Connor and Jeff, when he does drop in, that's the trigger for them to go beyond, as they have done previously when we've played that formation. So that kind of balance kind of works well with Dave McGoldrick and the team. So yeah, I'd agree with Stephen. He's an absolute certainty to start that long striking role.
Stephen, still a long way to go in the group and a lot of tough games to come, but it's a good position to be in, 10 points from 12. We've got Switzerland coming here in September. We've also got to go to Georgia. We've got Denmark to come, and of course, we've, as I say, Switzerland, we've got them home and away as well. So still a lot of football to be played.
A lot of football to play. And I think up until this point, for us to have a chance to qualify, we had to be in this position, because the tougher games are always going to be in the second half of this campaign. So we had to put ourselves in a position like this where we're in the front foot, we're in it, we've got the points on the board, and we know that we still have some tough games to come, but we're in a position where we've already got a lot of points, so we're feeling comfortable, and the confidence has grown, and the crowd are behind us now. So there's a better atmosphere around the place. Everybody seems a bit more positive about Irish football, and we're going forward in the right direction. So when it comes to those big nights, big games, hopefully the atmosphere will be up, everything will be changed, and there'll be a bit more of like, we can actually do this. There'll be a sense of that we can actually achieve something, whereas if we hadn't got this level and put 10 points on the board, you'd still be feeling a little bit more sceptical about what the outcome's going to be.
And would you be optimistic as well, Kenny?
Yeah, I think it's a slight false position. You look at the table at the moment because of the kind of fixtures we've played as opposed to the
Switzerland
the other teams.
Haven't really been in action.
Yeah, without a doubt. So it's going to be it's the matchup between ourselves, Switzerland and Denmark, that's going to be absolutely key. Just feel as if we're going to need one magical night somewhere, whether it's here against the Swiss or Denmark, or even potentially as we have done traditionally away from home, those kind of backs to the wall performances kind of bite me lip when I'm saying it. Not backs to the wall in terms of maybe, you know, besieging around the kind of penalty box and kind of hanging on, desperately clinging all for a result, but kind of showing a good defensive organisation, but also offering a threat as well on counter-attack, and at times when we can get forward, as we do to Denmark, although they kind of penned us in for kind of reasonably long periods of age. When we got the ball, we did commit players forward, and we did carry a threat in that game for periods during that game, particularly the last kind of 10 minutes to the game. So that's good. We accept the fact that we're going to get pushed back towards the edge of our 18-yard box. We are going to have to defend well collectively as a unit, probably better as we did against Denmark. But also have the confidence when we get on the ball to know we have the ability to work our way up the pitch and also cause problems to the opposition teams.
Well, I think you alluded to it as well when you talked about the Denmark. You said that when we conceded, because we've been under so much pressure, there was a chance for us just to kind of capitulate and put our heads down, but we didn't. We came back from when we fought. We showed a lot of character that we could come back and get a goal, because at that point, you could have just seen us just heads going down, because they were fighting for so long and there was a goal coming from Denmark. It just seemed like they could have just fallen back and keeled over, but we didn't. We came back, we pushed for them, we got an equaliser, which was a fantastic team spirit and character, and showed that we had a bit more about us than before.
Okay, well listen lads, many thanks for your company. Thanks for joining us on the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Kenny Cunningham and Stephen Kelly. Enjoy your summer, lads. Thanks very much. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, thank you.
And before we go, just a reminder of the results from the weekend in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers 2, Derry City 2. The Hoops coughing up a 2-0 lead at Tallaght Stadium on Saturday night. And Dundalk capitalised because they won by 3-0 at Finn Harps. So Dundalk 5 points clear. Duffy, Mountney and Gartland with the goals. And it was one apiece at the showgrounds between Sligo Rovers and St Pat's. Jack Keeney deflected free, cancelled out within a minute by Kevin Tunner. So Dundalk top of the table on 49 points. Clear of Shamrock Rovers, with Bowes in third on 34 points. Then come Derry City on 31. A check of the results in the First Division. Bray Wanderers 0, Shelburne 1, Drogheda United 4, Athlone Town 2, Limerick 2, Galway United 1, Cabinteely 2, Cove Ramblers 2 and Longford Town 1, Wexford 0. All of that means that Shelburne stay top. They're on 34 points, 1 point clear of Longford Town, with Drogheda United back in third on 32 points. Then there's a bit of a gap to Limerick, who are in fourth place on 28 points. In the So Hotels Women's National League, big win for Wexford Youths, 6-2 at Galway. 5 goals from Rihanna Jarrett. Piemont defeated Limerick by 7-0. The two matches involving Adelor Waves and Shells postponed. Likewise, Cork City against Kilkenny United. Well, just a check on the matches in the Premier Division this coming Friday. St Patrick's Athletic take on Finn Harps. Sligo Rovers at home to Cork City. And then the big one, it's Bowes against Shamrock Rovers at Dalymount Park. Dundalk not in action. They're already on their summer break. That's it from this particular edition of the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.